We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Always a good time out there. Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk about business now and the biodistrict. I don't know what it is. We'll talk to Andy Copeland, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Foundation. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm great, Tommy. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I appreciate it. Let's start with the Greater New Orleans Foundation. What is that and what do you guys do?
Yeah, we're the community foundation for the 13 parish region of Southeast Louisiana. So people probably know us best the first Tuesday of May each year when we do the 24-hour Give NOLA Day. But we also do grant making. We host donor advised funds. And after disasters like the COVID-19 pandemic and Hurricane Ida, we raise money to support nonprofits who are on the front lines. So that's what we do. And we try to support civic projects that are important to our city and to our region. And so one of those civic projects is really to try to help us create more job growth in biosciences and build out the potential of our biosciences industry as we seek to diversify our economy, which I think is, we can all see, is even more important post-pandemic than we kind of always knew it was. But it's one of our strategies at the state and local level to really grow the biosciences.
And we're going to get to that in one second. I just want to quickly ask you to reflect on Sean Payton, if you will, and how important he was to the city after Katrina. That'll always be a, boy, just a, again, I hate to use the phrase watershed, but it is a moment in this, in the city's history. And he was really a very important part of that. It was far more than football.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that folks who came back after Katrina, and that's everybody who's here, right, you know, were the folks who made an investment in New Orleans. And Sean Payton, just like Drew Brees, took a chance on us. You know, the Saints made that commitment to come back and made it happen. Governor Blanco said, we're going to rebuild the Dome and make sure that we can have NFL football. But, you know, Sean Payton was one of the folks who made magic happen. He was just a brilliant coach, a great representative of our city, a fighter. You know, maybe he had his best year ever trying to coach with, you know, four quarterbacks this year. I mean, it was, you know, a test of all of his talents. You know, the Super Bowl year we'll always remember. But he's had to put some real puzzles together in the last season, which just shows how impressive a coach he is.
And that brings us to the Saints and it being more than football as far as the city is concerned. And I know you're not with the tourism industry, but in terms of whenever anything happens major with the Saints, people always say, oh, well, they're going to move and this and that and the other thing. But the Saints are extremely important as it relates to the financial health of the city and the state. And they're pretty much locked in. It seems as though Saints fans can relax. They're going to be here for a while.
You know, Mrs. Benson has made so clear her commitment to New Orleans, her commitment to having the teams here. And that's really, I think, incredible leadership on her part to just say, look, this is who I am, and this is what's important to the city and the region I care so much about. And so I really am grateful for her contributions. I think there's a lot of anxiety we all have in our lives, and she's made crystal clear her intentions about the teams, and I think that's spectacular.
So let's talk about the biomedical corridor. I'm trying to go back to when this really, they started clearing ground on this in mid-city and I guess a little bit of of the CBD. When did all of this start, Andy? Take me back.
You know, there's been folks who have been dreaming about how to grow a strong biomedical, center in New Orleans for decades. I tell people, you know, it's been 20 years and we've been still trying to make progress. And they said, no, it's been 40. And when you think about the Houston Medical Center, you know, so many Louisianans go over there because they have some, you know, really incredible care in certain areas. That started in the 1940s. And so the community leaders in Houston at that time said, we're going to have a great medical center. And they worked diligently, day after day, year after year, decade after decade to make that a reality. And they did. And we have the assets. You know, we have LSU and Tulane medical schools. We have Xavier University with its pharmacy school. You know, we have the resources really to make a great medical center here. But somebody's got to quarterback that. And so in 2005, actually before Katrina, the biodistrict was created by the legislature. Senator Peterson actually was the author of the bill. And Katrina hit and it got waylaid a little bit. We have a strategic plan from 2013, but have never gotten the kind of permanent funding that you need for the kind of investments that we're making, that we need to make to be able to grow this industry. And I think the pandemic puts into context really what we've got to, you know, accomplish. We lost so many jobs in Louisiana and in New Orleans in particular because of our dependency on hospitality. And it's not that hospitality isn't important to us. It's very important. But we've got to grow other industries so that they're as big and as robust as hospitality and tourism. And that's what we're really trying to focus on. You know, LSU and Tulane have gotten over $200 million in new research grants post-pandemic. So the opportunity is there for us to attract those research dollars, to diversify our economy, to create jobs that have both high wages and high growth potential in terms of the number of jobs that we can create. And so that's something that we've got the assets, we've got to invest in them and build on it.
So let me bring it down like with Google Maps, where you click on a street level, and that's what I'm going to do now. And just as a guy that's driving past, when all this started, I'm looking at this big, giant project, all the land that was being cleared, houses torn down, et cetera. And I thought, well, it's going to take a lot to fill all of that. And then recently when I drive by, I see a lot of empty parking lots and so forth. And that's not a gauge of anything. That's just an observation. And I guess what I'm getting to, Andy, is for the average guy like me that saw all of this big project being constructed and now to gauge its progress, has it lived up to where you thought the biodistrict development, has it lived up to where the projections put it? Has it overperformed, underperformed? Talk to me about that.
Well, I think the first thing we got to look at is we do have about $2.5 billion worth of new investment in the biomedical district. So you've got the brand new University Medical Center, you've got the brand new Veterans Administration Hospital, you've got new buildings out at the LSU campus downtown, where the old medical district was concentrated, which we kind of call the Spirit of Charity area. Charity Hospital is about to be redeveloped. The Warwick Hotel adjacent to Duncan Plaza is coming along. So LSU is building new student housing on their campus across from the UMC between kind of Galvez and Claiborne. And so there are a lot of investments in, you know, kind of the thing that makes me most excited is the two companies that have come out of the New Orleans Bioinnovation Center, which is also a new building we put on Canal Street. Those are AccessSim, which is a great company. They call it Nerve on a Chip, but it's a company that helps scientists figure out how the nervous system will respond to new therapies and drugs. They've gotten startup money. They're hiring people. Another company called Obatala Sciences works on tissue engineering and regenerative medicine. They've moved out to the UNO Research Park and are hiring people as well. And so you've got the building blocks for success. And I think if we make continued investment, particularly on the innovation side, the commercialization side, like these two companies, this is research that came out of Louisiana. These, the two leaders, Lowry Curley and Trivia Frazier, who run these two companies, They were both educated here. They commercialized research that they were working on in graduate school. And that is the kind of the secret to the kind of growth that we want to see. We've seen it a lot in the IT space, and so we know we can do it. You know, we've had a lot of exits of IT companies that are making investors very wealthy while creating jobs here. And I think that the point is we need to do the same thing in the biosciences, where there's lots and lots of jobs available, and it also helps us improve healthcare for our region.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to Andy Copeland, President and CEO, Greater New Orleans Foundation, about the New Orleans Bio District. They got a new funding plan. We'll talk about that and could it deliver high-paying and economic growth for the city. 820 now. I'm Tommy Tucker. Back in a flash, WWL. 923 now, WWL, Thursday morning. We're talking to Andy Copeland, President and CEO of Greater New Orleans Foundation, about the New Orleans Bio District. New funding plan, and could it deliver high-paying and economic growth for the city? I guess what I'm asking, Andy, is the idea was initially, if you build it, they will come. So we built it, and the question is, did they come or are they coming? Is it too early to ask that? And has it lived up to expectations? And is there any way to gauge that? The whole,
you know,
bio corridor, if you will.
Yeah, and I think you can look around and clearly, you know, having a state-of-the-art VA, a state-of-the-art UMC, a new cancer research center, the New Orleans Bioinnovation Center, those have led to, you know, when we just talked about the $200 million in increased research investments that the federal government has made in LSU and Tulane medical schools since the pandemic, we've got the ability to capture additional resources. Have they lived up to their full potential? I don't think so. I think there's a tremendous amount of additional potential there if we actually make the investments that we need to make to continue to build on not just the buildings, but the economic activity that should be generated around. And we've actually never fully invested in developing this infrastructure. But what's exciting for us right now is we were just named one of the 60 finalists for this thing called the Build Back Better Regional Challenge. So 529 communities across the country competed. In New Orleans, we had two winners. And one of the two winners was our biosciences cluster, led by the Bioinnovation Center, the Bio District, you know, Tulane, LSU, Xavier, and others. And we had the chance to compete to win $25 to $75 million of new investments because they believe in the vision that we have for this district, and they think that we've got the assets in place to be successful. One of the assets that we're looking to put in place, as you mentioned, is permanent financing for the bio district to be the quarterbacking entity. You know, every one of these districts that's been successful has had an entity like a bio district that day in, day out leads and works on getting the additional investments that we may need from the private sector, from the universities, from the state, from the federal government. And that's what the bio district is proposing with this thing called a tax increment financing district, which is really a way to capture economic growth and reinvest it in the kinds of things that create jobs and more economic activity. There's no increase in taxes being proposed, but we're working with the city council, with council member Moreno, who's the lead author of our legislation. It's supported by the mayor. And the idea is, as growth happens in the bio district, a portion of that growth will be shared with the bio district for additional investment to really make sure that this thing turns into the job creating district that we all want to see and that has the potential. It's going to take a long time. This is a generational effort, just like we saw in Texas, just like we've seen in St. Louis and in Birmingham and other places that have been successful. We've got the pieces. But we've got to put them all together and make sure that they could be more than the sum of their parts.
So build what with the intention of attracting whom? And in terms of infrastructure, is there currently office space or however you would measure it that has been built that's not occupied because you built it and they didn't come?
No, I think the key things, you know, the number one thing that we're looking for is commercialization and wet lab space. You know, so when Obatala Sciences grows, they don't have to move out of the city. You know, fortunately, they didn't move out of the city. They were able to move to some space out at the UNO Research Park, which is terrific. But if we have more companies like that, we don't have the commercialization wet lab space for them to grow into. They get incubated at NOBIC, but when they've got to get to another space. So we need that kind of commercialization space, and that's where the job creation is.
Yep. Are you saying wet lab?
I am saying wet lab. That
not,
is
not like a big dog that comes in and stinks. You're talking about something different, right?
That's exactly right. A wet lab is a particular facility that's got all of the equipment, the ventilation, the air conditioning, the redundant electricity systems, so that people can do scientific experiments that can make it through, you know, hurricanes or power outages. It's a commercial building that is much more expensive to build than a landlord is going to build on spec. You know, office towers, are a different model. This is one where you've got to have a lot more scientific equipment in there and redundancy in terms of the kind of electrical systems and HVAC systems.
So that's very expensive. Do you build that to suit? Do you only build that after you have a tenant, or do you build it and then hope to attract a tenant?
Well, you do both, right? We have graduates of the New Orleans Bioinnovation Center that could move into this kind of space. This is one of the top requests in our federal Build Back Better grant. So we've got to have a 20% match for it. But if we build a $25 million building here with federal money, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about doing. In that case, we would need about $5 million of local match. That's the kind of thing that the Tax Increment Financing District could help with. We can't cover it all with the amount we're seeking, but it's the kind of thing that we can really inspire. And, you know, if we are effective with our recruitment, we may find companies that are located elsewhere that want to move their startup to the Bioinnovation Center's commercialization facility. So that's the project that's kind of the marquee project. But we've also got projects around expanding research, expanding workforce training so that we can make sure that, you know, the folks who live in New Orleans and in our region can get jobs in these high growth industries. And that's a really important part of this as well, is to make sure that we're not creating jobs just to bring people in from elsewhere, but that people in New Orleans and in our region can get those jobs. Downtown New Orleans is the biggest job center in the state. And this part of the biomedical center is ripe for additional job creation.
So you mentioned Houston earlier, and I presume you were alluding to MD Anderson. You look at Sloan Kettering in Minnesota. How do you, because healthcare, when you get right down to it, and it's a business, I hate to say that, but it is big money and big enterprise. How do you attract, say, an organization like that, or make this bio district an area where it would become a destination? I remember back in the day, it seemed as though Ochsner was that for a while, right? For people, especially from Central America, it seems like, I remember.
Yeah.
And you get where I'm going with this, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you got to have a clear strategy. And Ochsner, with its transplant center, continues to attract people because they've got an expertise that's well worth coming from, not just other places in Louisiana, but other places across the country and the world. And, you know, we've got to have, you know, concentrated efforts in some particular areas where we are known as the experts. You know, one of the areas that we're really excited about is neurodegenerative diseases. And both Ochsner, Tulane, LSU, even Our Lady of Holy Cross has some work. The Steve Gleason Foundation, also does a lot of work in neurodegenerative diseases. And so we have some expertise there. There's not a center of excellence in neurodegenerative diseases. This is, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, brain science, where if we've developed expertise, the folks who are experts in that area are going to want to come to New Orleans because they're going to be with other researchers, other commercialized ventures, where there's, economies of scale. And folks say, look, if you want to go, do research on that, go to New Orleans, because that's where the leading edge research is taking place. And that's the kind of thing that you use to distinguish yourselves from other markets. And that's, a really important part. That's why there's a quarterbacking function that is needed to make sure that we all have shared strategies that are most likely to be successful. If everybody's doing their own thing, we're not going to get the concentration of effort that we need. And that's why a common goal around something like neurodegenerative diseases, which Geno Inc. has been pioneering, is an important part of our strategy. And Geno Inc., of course, is a very important part of our coalition.
I sense it's more like the old thing about the aircraft carrier, not the speedboat.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We've got to be more aircraft carrier and just continue to make investments, continue to work on our strategies, and continue to do this day after day. None of this stuff, even when you think about our IT successes, those were a decade or more in the making. We had to build, tax credits were created in the early 2000s that incented the digital economy. And so it takes, none of these things are overnight successes, unfortunately. But if we get in there, we've got the building blocks. We've got the two new hospitals, the Cancer Center, the Bioinnovation Center, the two medical schools, the pharmacy school at Xavier. We have what it takes, and we've got to put it together in a more effective way to be able to realize even greater returns. It's a significant part of our economy right now. We've got two great, big hospital groups. Ashton does a wonderful job. LCMC does a wonderful job down there in our district. And if we can all move in the same direction, we'll all benefit, and our community will benefit in terms of job creation and growth and diversification of the economy that we so desperately need.
Are you talking about acquiring more land here, or has all of the neighborhoods that would be needed been acquired?
Yeah, no, I think that there's more than enough land, and we've been meeting with a lot of the mid-city groups who are concerned that the bio-district might want to join the state who bought out a neighborhood to build the VA hospital. We have no need to buy anybody's house out and no intention of doing so, and our plans make that very clear. But there's plenty of vacant space, where the old charity and the old VA were, downtown, LSU, the UMC. There's lots of available land, and we've just got to make sure that we can take advantage of it. If you think about downtown New Orleans, it's been booming since about 2009 or 10. But the part of downtown that's not booming is if you go from the Superdome towards the French Quarter, where those two empty hospitals have been for 15 years. That's the area that needs to be redeveloped. The area that is in front of the new UMC hospital between UMC and Claiborne. There's a lot of green space there that was purchased because of the intention over time to build this robust medical center. And so I think there's plenty of land that's already available for development, and there's no need to go into any neighborhoods anymore.
So how do you benchmark goals, measures of success with something this massive, et cetera? Because, again, this is a generational thing. It is of the utmost importance to the city in terms of job creation, but you do want to make sure that you are on track and that you're headed in the right direction. How do you even begin to do that, Andy?
Yeah, I think that a couple things are real important with our TIF proposal. One is that every year it'll require city council approval of our budget, and every budget has performance goals and indicators in it. And we're going to update our master plan for the district to make sure that, we're going to describe the projects that we're going to do. We're going to make the investments in them. And folks should be able to see, did we build that commercialization facility? Did Charity Hospital get redeveloped? Were we able to create workforce training programs that helped lead people to get good jobs? Do we have a good strategy around neurodegenerative diseases? Anybody who's seeking to spend public funds absolutely needs to be held accountable for the expenditure of them. And I think that we'll see in specific projects that we're proposing whether those get accomplished and whether they meet their potential.
Do you think New Orleans still can become a Birmingham? I think that was the example that was given when all of this started, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, we've got the piece parts. Had we lost the VA to Pensacola as was threatened back in 2008, we might have been with our back up against the wall. Had we not made investments in the Bioinnovation Center and the Cancer Center, which we did, had Ochsner not grown the way it's grown, had Children's not consolidated to become LCMC, had the pharmacy school at Xavier gone away, we would have no chance. But because we have all those assets, and because those are all organizations led by ambitious leaders who've got real vision for growth, we have the potential to make our own mark in biosciences. And I completely believe that New Orleans can become a place that's recognized for excellence in its medical research and its healthcare, and a place where folks want to come, bring their companies, grow their companies, start their companies, or in some cases come here for the healthcare that we offer because it's the best in the world. It's the best folks can get. And that's something that we ought to be seeking. And I think, you know, again, generationally, we can do this. We've got a strong medical school and medical center already. Folks come from all over the state. And sometimes, as I said earlier, with, you know, regard to some services like the transplant center at Ochsner, come from all over the world. And so it's important for us to continue to grow those assets, but we can be much bigger than we are right now.
Quickly, finally, a big part of this, I think, was generating business and opportunities for ancillary places, lunch places, restaurants, et cetera. Has any of that come to fruition as far as you know?
You know, so those usually follow job creation. And you know, if you're bringing more jobs in, you're creating more jobs, restaurateurs and service providers, they're going to find those people. And so, you know, that'll be a good measure of whether we're succeeding if more of those have developed in the area. You know, certainly there's been some resurgence on Tulane Avenue that you've seen recently in terms of housing and in terms of restaurants. But you know, what we're really going to focus on is the job creation, because that's the bottom line. If folks have jobs, they've got resources, they're going to spend the money, and those retailers and those you know, restaurants and other establishments are going to find those people, and we'll be very successful, as demonstrated by the increased economic activity in the district in those areas.
Thank you for your time, Andy. It's very important, of course. Any final comments, thoughts from you?
You know, no. Thanks so much for having me. You know, I'm a big Dennis Allen fan. I just want to say, he's one who's been so supportive of our COVID relief efforts and our Hurricane Ida relief efforts. He and his wife Allison have been very generous. So he's a hell of a football coach. But he's also a great citizen of our region who cares a lot about the people, especially when they've faced tough times. And so we're grateful at the Great New Orleans Foundation for Dennis and Allison Allen.
From a management standpoint, I don't know why you would not just, and I know you want to be fair to everybody and there are NFL rules, but I don't know why that would not be the logical hire from a management standpoint. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Andy Copeland, President and CEO, Greater New Orleans Foundation. When we come back, we'll talk to Jay Weiss with Second Harvest Food Bank, 941, 19 before 20. Time for traffic, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.